Let's do this.
Okay. So I'm James.
I'm Lee.
And you're listening to
Authors Like Us.
Carrie, you almost jumped in there.
I know, I wanted
patience. To patience. You'll get to do your maybe we should let her do her tag right away.
Yeah, I think so.
Because she's
You are listening to Authors Like Us. Yes. And I am Carrie Lynn Winters.
Let's try that again.
And take two.
I am Carrie Lynn Winters, and you are listening to Authors Like Us.
We could just do that all day.
Yeah.
We could have things. Okay. Well, here we are with...
So what is this here?
Picture book author extraordinaire, Carrie Lynn Winters. And yes, she brought me a gift. It is Jeffrey and Sloth in Korean.
Where's my gift?
Well, actually, this gift is for our friend June, who is Korean. So, you know.
Because, you know, I need a book in Korean.
Yes, exactly.
I don't speak. But your friend isn't so much. I probably know what it all says.
Exactly.
But so, you guys have gone to Korea.
This is one of...
Carry it with you.
That's very cool, though.
They
sold the rights to Korea.
Yeah.
And I'm going to Korea on Saturday, so I will take this book with me, and I'm going to show it to my students.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah, they'll be excited.
Awesome.
So,
it's called Jeffrey and Sloth, by the way. But in Korean, I don't know.
Yes, we're looking at the cover of her book with the Korean Hangul character. So it's very nice.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
So, Carrie, you are a very productive writer, speaking of this, because I think when I first met you, I had 2 books published and you had 0.
Yeah.
And now I have 4 books published and you have 50. So either you're very proficient or I'm very lazy.
Yeah, I'm a little bit prolific. I like to write.
Yeah. You do love to write. And
I do.
You've got how many picture books are actually out right now?
6.
6, and you've got, you got that many more in the...
Why don't you tell us what they are?
Okay, so my first picture book was Jeffrey and Sloth, and it's about a boy who has writer's block, and he's trying to get over his writer's block, and he draws a sloth, and Sloth kind of helps him get through his writer's block. And then my second was part of a collection, and it's called Rhyme or Reason, and it's kind of a funny story about me, and I can actually tell that story.
Tell us the story.
I can tell you that story. Okay, when I was a kid,
a kid, let's be honest.
I think it was grade 3. I had a special author come to our city, and his name was Dennis Lee. And and he inspired me to go back and write my own version of alligator pie. So I wrote alligator cheese. Alligator cheese. If I don't get some, I think I'm gonna cough.
You did not.
I did too. I have it hanging up. I have that piece of work.
Was that?
Up.
I think you've told me that story before. So wasn't that your first creative writing piece?
Yeah, I was not a writer when I was a kid. I struggled. And
so that really was a turning point for you.
A turning point in my life. Yes.
That's really cool because we all do author visits. So sometimes I wonder,
are we actually having
any impact on the students?
Yeah.
And this is a clear example of where someone came to your school and had a giant impact.
Awesome.
Maybe you wouldn't be where you are today if it wasn't for that.
I bet you it wouldn't be. And it goes on. I mean, the thing is that I didn't know that it was, you know, poor, you know, rhyming and that kind of thing at that time. I just knew it was something that I was doing. And my teacher, my grade 3 teacher, put it on the bulletin board.
Really?
And that was the very first time in my life.
That looks like the badge of honor.
Yeah.
You know,
it was on the outside bulletin board, like in the hallway.
Oh, wow.
It's almost as good as being on the fridge, you feel.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to write a picture book about that because somebody...
I want to be thanked in the note.
Dedication.
We have about, you know, during the course of this conversation, how many ideas will Carrie get? James, we should have had a conversation before and taken bets.
And when the podcast
I'm
goes live,
eight.
How many publishers are going to be phoning Carrie to publish those books that she talks about writing?
Right. And what will be our cut from these contracts?
You can get the dedication.
I'll take the dedication.
I was going to say, we'll take what we can get.
Yeah.
No, but so many people feel like if their work isn't put on the fridge, then they don't feel loved. And I had a friend whose mother never put work on the fridge. She wanted to keep the fridge kind of clean, magnet-free.
My mom put coffee on my work. But it's an ongoing joke in my family, like, Mom, look at my drawing. And then we'd come back and there'd be like a coffee ring on it. And that was our badge of honor. We didn't have a fridge. We were no. I'm,
we had an ice box.
We had an ice box.
Wow, you're age. We have the walk.
Yeah, that's right.
You go chicken, you go with the killer.
I grew up in the country.
Yeah, we have to go out to the outbox. Yeah. That's what we do.
Outbox. What's an outbox?
I don't know. Isn't that like a fridge?
No, ice box.
Ice box. You're kind of like
outhouse and ice box. Yeah, you combine right. The two, yeah. Which is wrong.
Exactly. You'd have to go to the ice
I'm
box.
Going out to, what did you call it? I'm going out to the outbox.
Right, I'm back in an hour. Come get me. Yeah.
You're not from around these parts, are ya?
Yours does sound like a Texan old man.
Yeah. Well, I'm just emulating your...
Yeah, it was very close to what you did.
Yeah. I can't James and I only have... We can only do, you know, our
so
nerd voices.
Nerd voice.
No, so many...
I can do a French accent.
Whenever we talk... Whenever we
tell... Quebecois French accent.
If we imitate each other, it's like, well, hello there, kind sir, and how are you today?
Apparently, that's how we view each other. Whenever we tell stories about each other, our voices are always like, and then I turned left.
Turned left.
Like, why are we nerds? Like, we know this, but why are we cultivating
well,
this?
We can't at least imagine that we're not.
You guys are proud of your nerddom.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, aren't you guys more geeks than nerds? Like,
I am
seriously.
Wearing a Spider-Man shirt.
He is.
Which I was with him. Sadly, I was with him when he bought it.
But yeah, I would say that we're more geeks than nerds just because geeks are sociable, whereas nerds are
live in their mom's basement,
and
don't
their
they?
Their only friends are on WoW.
We have more than virtual friends.
Exactly.
We have real flesh
of friends.
Oh my gosh.
We've not met them, but
and we've seen the
morning.
Sun.
You're a great what is it, grade three?
Grade three was a big year for you.
Uh oh. Do
life
listen
changing.
To this?
Probably.
Oh, okay. I can't tell that story then.
Why not?
Because it's about Santa Claus.
Yeah, change the names of innocent.
Yeah.
Make it, okay. We'll
tell,
make
your,
it be,
tell your way around it.
Okay, we'll make it Panta Sauce, okay?
Well, it fooled me.
Okay, so when I was in grade three, Paula told me that there was no such thing as Santa Paws. I mean, Panta Sauce.
Oh, yeah.
I think the cover's blown.
I think, yeah, we need to start again. And take two.
Okay, when I was in grade three, there was a girl on the bus named Paula, and she told me there's no such thing as Panta Sauce.
Right.
Yes. And so I was so mad, I punched her in the face. The only act of violence in my whole childhood,
other
I swear.
Than breaking a child's ribs.
No, she said the only act of violence in her childhood.
Right, childhood, yes, right.
Yes, yes.
The rest of the mayhem would come later.
Yes, 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 yes. So I, in those days, we would get the strap. So I get sent down, and I don't tell people this story that often, but I got sent down to the office to get the strap. And I stood in the line with Charles. There was a guy named Charles behind me.
Is that
strap.
His real name?
Oh, I didn't protect the innocent.
Darn.
Charlie.
Oh, yeah, his name's
Barles.
Sarles. Yeah. Anyway.
Sorry, Barles.
Barles Clay.
Yeah.
So he was behind me, and he says, it really hurts. Really, really hurts.
Because he got it all the time,
yeah.
I imagine.
You're going
to
cry,
did he just go to
school? Cry,
did he just go to school and go right to the office?
Yeah. He's always in trouble. So I was really nervous. So I get inside there, and I sit down, and the vice principal says to me, did you punch Paula? And I said, yeah, I did. And he said, well, why did you do that? And I said, because she said there's no such thing as Panta Sauce. See, I'm protecting the innocent still.
Yeah, and a fine job you're doing.
That was good. I think Panta Sauce.
I thought you said Panda Sauce, and I just wonder what that is. It's wrong.
All right. I just say Santa Claus. And so the principal, he said, oh, in that case, okay, you can go. Just go apologize. Because
So you got off the strap?
I got off the strap. So I walked out of there with no tears.
Beaming.
Nothing. And Charles was like, whoa. Look at her. She's tough.
She's
I got
a tough.
I got the rep. reputation.
She's the toughest kid in grade 3.
Yeah.
She can write a poem and get a whooping.
Little did they know the mayhem that would occur later in her life.
Yeah. So then after that came On My Walk, and it's a little book, a Vancouver walk for, you know, it's for, meant for toddlers and preschool kids, and it has a lot of little rhythms and sounds in it. And then after that came, I just got my new copy of When Chickens Fly.
All right. So bring us those. Not that our she showed it to me. Not that listeners can see this, but James and I can. And
you guys can explain.
We'll take a picture of it. We'll take a picture of it after. This is When Chickens Fly. And I remember talking to you as this book was being birthed, I guess, like the chronicles of When Chickens Fly. And it's about a chicken. Who wants
to eat chicken?
I famously don't. Well, that's true. Famously, I don't like chickens. Though my very first pet was a blind chicken. But the problem was,
your first pet was a blind chicken.
Didn't you know that about me? I finally get to tell you something that you didn't know about me. I mean, I just found out your middle name's Alfred, and it, you know.
Yeah. Every 5 minutes.
And he named him Peck, but not.
You never told me that.
Did you know? Did you know, Carrie? Did you know that James's middle name is Alfred?
Yeah.
It's great. It's
he's on Facebook all the time.
I know.
Haven't you noticed?
It's awesome because his initials are Jam.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
I used to be KLM.
Really?
K-L-4.
I'm Lef. But join the Olympics, right?
Yeah, she wants to be a free-range aerialist. And it kind of resonates with the idea that they weren't going to let the women compete in the freestyle, or the skiing.
Right.
Ski jumping. And so it's about having a dream and having people stand by you, and it's a lot of fun. It's kind of fun.
Well, keep that out because we're gonna take a picture of that later. So our
and then it's not supposed to be due out until September, but it's already out. You can get a hold of it. It's called Runaway Alphabet. That's
I've heard of that book.
Yeah.
You know, I have an interesting story for you.
Yeah.
I was talking to a teacher, actually a librarian yesterday, who was doing. Apparently, there's a new system in place for teaching Aboriginal children how to speak properly, who have speech problems. And she said they're shying away from pronouncing words, and now what they're doing what you did in Runaway Alphabet, where they're using sounds for the words.
Mm-hmm.
And so I showed her Runaway Alphabet.
Oh, okay.
It's in the store already?
Yeah, it's in the store already.
Okay.
Oh, it is. Oh,
yeah,
good.
Yeah, it's been for a while.
Yeah, because it's not due out with Amazon until September.
Right.
So, that
would be different.
And I have to say, I was joking because I know that book because I'm... I'm on the CDs, but more importantly, my goddaughter is.
Yes, you are on the CD.
And more importantly, my goddaughter.
And your goddaughter, and she was amazing. She is amazing.
Yeah, because...
she plays the role of Nan.
The little
and,
girl.
Yeah, it's a story about...
And we plugged her into the studio with her having... You know, Charlotte, she had she's a little imp, but she had no, obviously, formal recording experience because she was 8.
Yeah.
And
with all these professionals.
With all these people, and she was quite intimidated. We had some professional voice actors, not me, but others.
Yeah.
And her, I don't know if we told you this, but her jack or something wasn't plugged in. So you're in the sound studio, so you can't hear... You have the headphones on. That's how you hear
You can hear us in the booth.
Yeah.
Right? So she... But her thing, her jack wasn't plugged in or something, so she could hear nothing. And she was reading lips to figure out when her next line was.
She was
because she
amazing.
Just assumed that's what you do. And we... And then every now... And she was doing really well, and every now and then... there would be a little hiccup. We'd be like, what's going on? And then we finally realized...
A Q. So this is an alphabet book. It goes through the sounds of the letters through the alphabet. And we didn't find out that she wasn't plugged in until the letter Q.
Right. That's how well she was doing. Reading lips.
Pretty,
yeah.
First time.
I know.
Amazing.
And then I was giving her
a great career as a spy.
I know.
She was impressive. I said, can you... You know, there's 5 Qs. Quack, 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 quack. It's like Nan was eating popcorn. So we're giving her popcorn to eat, and we're saying, can you say qua 5 times? And she'd go, qua, qua, qua. And I'd say, no, 5 times. And we were all like, couldn't understand why she didn't understand. And then it turned out she wasn't even plugged in. We were amazed. Yeah, so Runaway Alphabet is, it really, I'm really passionate. passionate about literacy. That's one of my big focuses for a lot of my books, and you can see traces of it through each book. Actually, that's one of the things I teach at Brock University as well.
And that's because you yourself did struggle with reading a little bit, didn't you?
Yeah, I struggled with reading and writing, and you know, I really didn't learn how to read or write properly until grade four.
Yeah.
Grade three, four, something like that.
That's pretty amazing, because so many times, like, I go to so many schools and I meet these kids in grade one and two who can write, like, so well. Like, they're so ahead of the curve, and I always assume that, oh, these are the kids who are going to grow up to be the writers. But this is really inspirational that you were one of the kids who couldn't do that at all, and now look at you, right?
So. Yeah.
But don't you find, too, that in meeting a lot of authors, that seems to be a very common theme where...
Do you think so?
Yeah, because...
It's one or the other. I think you either meet authors who, as kids, were really high reading levels, were reading early, were reading voraciously, and then the other side, I guess.
With me, in the 70s, they had in my school this little...
Should we do that little ding-ding-ding-ding going back through time? Long ago, in the days of yore.
In the days of outboxes. Anyway, when in the 70s, they would take me out of my class because I was a really creative thinker. I still kind of think of myself as creative. So they would take me out of class.
You still kind of think of yourself as creative.
Yes, okay. It's true.
Do you put that in your business card? Carrie Lynn Winters, author and kind of creative.
Kind of thinks of herself as creative.
Yeah.
Anyway, they would take me out of class, but guess what they would take me out? During language arts.
What?
So that is part of the reason, because I could memorize books, so it was almost like I was reading when I was in grade one, but I wasn't.
You were just good at memory.
I was just good at memorizing, and I would really pay attention to what people were saying, that kind of thing. And I would read it with all this emphasis and drama, if you believe it or not.
Becoming an actress.
But really, I was being taken out to do these really cool projects, but I was taken out during language arts class, which put me behind until grade eight.
Wow.
Yeah.
They took me out, too. I remember I was kind of creative as well. I remember they took me out into the hallway, and they gave me this sheet of circles. Like, there was, like, I don't know, 9, 12 circles. And all the normal kids, like, they would draw pictures in the circles. And I drew pictures, like, connect, like, one picture, like, that used, incorporated the circles.
Oh.
And went, all right, drew outside the lines.
He's an illustrator.
And then the next thing you knew, I was, like, hauled into some office and given tests. And, I don't know, in my imagination, hooked me up to electrodes.
Yeah.
They made me faster, stronger. And then they took me out of, like, I had to go into a special class for 3 years because I was creative.
I still remember when I was in kindergarten.
I didn't use the word gifted.
They took everybody into a special room. They did, you know, like the reading tests and all that. And depending upon what aptitude you showed, they would do different tests. Me, they made me keep reading until they figured out what grade I was reading at. And then my best friend, they made him play with balloons. Said at the time that I didn't get to play with balloons, but now Nettle realizing that he was playing with balloons because he was an idiot.
Okay, don't use his real name. No. Protect the innocent.
Yeah, protect the
Do you know what he's doing now?
I have no idea.
He's probably still playing with balloons.
Okay, give him a fake name.
Maybe he's a clown.
Yeah. You're like that too. I actually, we're all.
If you tell me
no,
you can't,
me
I can't
all.
Do
no?
it. Do it better.
No, grade 10 math. My math teacher came up to me and pointed at me and said, "You are gonna fail."
And
so
you did.
I didn't bother.
Oh my gosh, I'd be like that, right?
Great, pressure's off.
I don't think you're like that now, though.
I'm not like that now, but I was as a teenager.
Yeah.
As a teenager, if you told me I couldn't do it, I just didn't. It wasn't that I couldn't do it; I just didn't bother.
Right.
Because it was like there were no expectations on me, so I just it was like pressure.
But I find it amazing now. Sometimes I had some great teachers, some really supportive teachers.
Mm-hmm.
But when I think back on it now, even in university and stuff, I'm amazed at the number of people who told me that I wouldn't be able to accomplish something.
Yeah.
Which I find is a bizarre thing to say to someone. I mean, you may think that about someone.
Yeah.
And I'm all about honesty. honesty. But why wouldn't you say, you know what, this is where I see that you're at, and this is what you would need to do to accomplish it. But to, just to say something, because I had tons of people say to me, you'll never get published. You're not, your writing's not strong enough.
Yeah.
Like, why would you say that to someone? Like,
well, you know what I want to say?
Than you. Like,
no, I know, but now...
inside themselves, and they're taking it out on the kids that they're teaching.
Yeah, but we're all teachers ourselves in some capacity, and we don't do that.
Yeah.
But if I see...
But that's because we're happy with who we are.
Okay, fair enough. Well, like, but if you see, but if I see a kid who's struggling and they say, I really want to get published, I say, well, I wouldn't say, you'll never get published, you suck. I would say, oh, this is where, this is what you would need to do. Like, you need to keep writing and improving. You've got lots of raw talent. Yeah. You need to keep going.
And I get that all the time from parents, not that they want the kids to get published, but they'll say, what does my kid need to do to get better at writing?
Right.
And I always say, well, they need to keep practicing. Yeah.
They need to keep writing.
Yeah.
Like, and reading. And
that's
reading.
There's no there's no magic cure for this. You
know,
you can't go to the doctor and get a shot.
No. And you know what? Scientists right now are researching this. And you guys ever listen to TED?
Yes.
I love that.
All
I love listening
TED Talks,
to TED.
Awesome.
But
who's TED?
TED Talks. I'll email
TED Talks.
Okay.
Awesome.
Brilliant.
It's really scholarly kind of thinking.
Yeah, they're like 10 minutes long.
And they're
just like
fantastic.
Listen to one when you have like.
But Amy Mullins talks about she's an Olympic athlete and
I saw that one up.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
So they when she was born, they told her that her parents that she would never walk. Meanwhile, she's an Olympic athlete now.
Wow.
And she ran into the doctor that delivered her, and he said to her, you know, you have been making a mockery of me.
Did you just say she ran into the doctor that delivered her? Isn't that insult to injury? She didn't encounter him. She ran into him.
Crash.
You don't think I can walk? I can run.
Anyway, until that day, he never taught science in that way, but it changed his way of thinking. And now when he teaches medical students, he says you can never know the potential of someone's will.
It's a variable.
That's the unknown variable, the X factor, that you can never know. So you don't know if a kid is going to thrive in wherever, writing, whatever. You don't know that X factor. You don't know their human will. So, you know,
I agree.
You got to nurture that.
I also think, too, when I go to a school or teach a class, I'm always aware of the quietest kid.
Yeah.
Because I think... You know, sometimes, as a teacher, we all love the kids who are very passionate and show their enthusiasm. Because as a teacher, it's a great tool for you as well to use that, right? And to help inspire the rest of the class. But I'm always keeping my eye on the quietest kid because they're usually, the diamond in the rough, right? Or they're just gold, right?
Yep.
And I would never judge someone, that.
Yeah, people often talk to me about, what is the secret about writing? And how do you get published and that kind of thing. And I always say, well, of course, you gotta write, you gotta edit, you gotta submit, but the one thing that people don't talk about is promoting others or talking to others and really inspiring others. I think that is a huge part of getting published.
Well, I think, for me personally, and we've probably talked about this before, but one of the key ways to learn or to become better is to teach it.
Yeah.
Like, I honestly think I've become a much better writer since I've been teaching writing.
Absolutely.
Right? Because it's a constant self-examination.
Yeah.
You know, and how many times, and it actually has pushed me a lot too, because sometimes I think, okay, I'm going to teach something, and I don't really know much about it, so I'm going to go find out a little bit about it, and then I'm going to teach it. And I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. Then you learn a little bit about it at the same time.
And you can add it to your...
And then you add it to your quiver, right? So teaching is definitely... And that's exactly what you're talking about, sharing and...
Yep, sharing, inspiring others, learning from them, talking about their work, learning, getting invested in their work, that kind of thing. I'm doing a book on bees right now, and, I knew a lot about bees before, but now I know a real lot about bees, and I'm fascinated by bees. Like, I can't walk down the street without going, oh my gosh, there's a bee. Like, look at these different kinds of bees. Not just honeybees, but, like, all kinds of bees. And it's like that. Once you start teaching or once you start writing about it, sometimes that's the way you can think.
Yeah, that's one. Right.
So I'm James.
I'm Lee.
And you're listening to
Authors Like Us.
Oh boy.
Oh gosh. Let's move away from the outbox thing.
Well, you know, famously I ran over the outhouse when I was a kid on my dad's tractor, right? So that's my story of how I failed farm boy school.
You almost said outbox.
Did I say outbox?
Almost.
Outhouse.
You got a box and outhouse.
Yeah. Now it's gonna be in my head.
Oh my gosh.
You're gonna be in a presentation.